Archdiocese of New Zealand
of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents
In the Narthex
with Father Paul Patitsis.
Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church.
And now your host, Father Paul.
Welcome to In the Narthex, a radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I'm your host, Father Pavlos, of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, located in lovely Western Springs. Before we start our program, I just want to have our hearts and our attention to our friend Stratos, who's in the hospital, and we pray for him. And this past week, we lost two of our parishioners who passed away. Evangeline passed away, and Yanis. And we ask God to rest their souls. Today I want to talk about maybe a difficult topic, and that is about suffering. You know, what exactly, not that we're not going to exhaust the topic by any means today, because there's a lot to say about it, but let's at least try and discuss it. So we'll start with a little music first.
Pain that no one sees.
really beautiful song. It's from an album called Laura's Story. Laura's Story, or maybe that's her name. Laura's Story. And the name of the album is Great God Who Saves. So, Great God Who Saves. Well, thank you, Laura's Story, for that beautiful music. And we are hearing in her words that suffering comes in this life. We can't really avoid it. But God can give us his perfect peace in the midst of that suffering. And I wanted to read to you a passage from the scripture. This is in the New King James Version of the scripture. I know it by heart in the Revised Standard Version. But anyway, this is a little bit different than the way I memorized it. And this is from the book of Romans. St. Paul writes to the Roman people. And he shares this in chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So we're justified by faith and we have access by faith to grace. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Tribulation, suffering, you know, those difficulties, challenges. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. Wow. What we're saying here, of course, or what St. Paul is saying, is that don't be disappointed when suffering comes your way. It's going to come, but when the tribulations come, when the challenges come, God is going to give you perseverance, or in the translation I memorize, suffering produces endurance. Perseverance, endurance, and endurance produces character. Now, I have a blessing as a human being and as a clergyman to visit the Spring Hill Correctional Facility. And, of course, I'm not able to share with you specific of who I visit and how and so forth, but I will just say that many times I meet people there who have been there for many years. Years and years and years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And you say to yourself, how do they endure their imprisonment? Because life in the prison isn't easy by any means. It's very difficult. And the amazing thing that you see there, and that's why I enjoy so much going to the prison, is that those who learn to endure are those who learn to find that perfect peace. They learn to accept the situation that they're in. You may say, well, they deserved it. That's why should we feel any sympathy for them? They did a crime, they deserve the time. Well, that's certainly, you can say that and feel justified. But think also from the perspective of the person who did the wrong thing. Now it's 20 years have passed since he did that wrong thing. He hasn't done anything wrong since. And he's still in prison. And he's still hoping for the day that he can be released and come back to his family and try and live a normal life again. He repents of what he did. He didn't want to do it. He regrets it now. It's 20 years later. But how does he survive that torment, that difficulty, living in the prison and yet wanting to be free? And the way that they find, which is a way for all of us to find, is they find their peace in God. Those who succeed at this, I'm not saying everybody in prison is godly, although there are many there, godly. But they find their peace with God. And in finding their peace with God, they are set free, even though they're still in prison. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And that's a very instructive thing for us as we try to deal with the sufferings of our lives, because we too can feel imprisoned by our circumstances and all the challenges that we might face in our life. And we say, okay, what do I do now? Well, we learn to find peace in Christ.
Resting in the joy of what thou
this song. I don't want to turn it off, sorry, but I have to turn it off. Otherwise, we won't have a radio show today, just have music. That's Trisha Brock. I know, isn't that a great song? Jesus, I am resting in you. So, thank you, Trisha, for that beautiful song. And we have more to tell you today, but let's continue now to Saint Clement of Alexandria, Egypt. Now, this saint lived between 150 and 215 AD. So we're talking a second century saint. Very, very close to the time of Christ, as things go, because Saint John the Theologian, who was a disciple of our Lord, died approximately in 100 AD. Maybe even a little later than that. And so we have Clement of Alexandria. So you have, if not someone who knew the apostles, who knew those who knew the apostles. That's pretty close. And listen what he says, St. Clement of Alexandria says, as he's preparing people who had just been baptized. He wants them to learn something. He says this: renounce your numerous anxieties about the body by taking heart from your hopes in God. He'll provide sufficient necessities, food for life, covering for your body, and protection against the winter's cold. The whole earth and all that grows from it belongs to your king. God has scrupulous care for the bodies of his servants, as for his own limbs, for they are his temples and holy places. For that reason, do not go in fear of serious illness or of the onset of old age, which we must expect in due course. Illness, too, will abate when we carry out his commands with wholehearted attention. Don't take by that he thinks every illness will be healed if we just had enough attention. He said it just previously that old age will come in due course, and so will death, of course. And death generally comes because of illness, not all the time. So he's just saying, look, many times you're going to be healed if you just keep faithful and not give up. In knowledge of this, keep your soul strong, even in the face of sickness. And now we know, of course, that there is such a thing as a connection between the soul and the body. We have the word psychosomatic, which many people think just means that you imagine that your body is sick. But we should understand instead that there's a connection between the soul and the body, that they work together. And of course, the mind and the body, too. So if we have our soul strong, it will help us in the time of sickness. Be of good cheer, he continues, like the athlete in the stadium who shows himself outstanding at enduring his ordeals with strength, unimpaired. So in those days when they still had the Olympic Games and so forth and many athletic contests, people knew of them, he uses the example of the athlete. And we, of course, live in such a time where athleticism is valued greatly. And we see how someone endures his ordeals, whether it's as someone who sails on the ocean, or someone who skis the mountains, or someone who snowboards, or someone who, runs a sprint, or hurdles, or javelin, or whatever. So many sports, of course, shot put and what have you, men and women. But we see that they endure the pain in order to reach their goal, to cross the finish line, or to throw the discus farther than anyone else, or to pole vault higher than anyone else, or to swim faster than anyone else. So they push against their body, and they learn endurance. So we have that word of St. Paul again, from chapter 5 of Romans. Our suffering produces endurance. If we keep going, of course. If we don't keep going, our suffering will just lead us to despair and despondency. But if we keep going, if we have our eyes on Christ, or as the African spirituals used to say, our eyes on the prize, then we're going to produce endurance from our suffering. And then suffering, which has produced endurance, will then produce character. What a wonderful thing when a person develops character. He is able to remain steadfast through every difficulty. That's what character means. He doesn't change. The wind's shifted and he loses his faith. Or the wind's shifted and he becomes, instead of a happy-go-lucky person, a grumpy, difficult person to live with. But instead, however the wind shifts, however the life takes him, he is steadfast and enduring, and he has character now. He's learned to be loving and kind and good and full of all the virtues, regardless of the situations of his life. And so let's continue. Do not be wholly crushed at heart by grief, whether it is illness which weighs you down or whether some other harsh experience comes your way. Don't be crushed at heart by grief. We talk about suicide. I mean, we're not going to spend a lot of time on that today, of course, because that's a whole topic of itself. But they say that we are the second in the world of suicide rate. You know, I don't know if that's accurate. I heard that recently. And if that's true, what a sad thing for a lovely country as ours to be full of people who don't want to be alive, who can't endure. They have the pain, the suffering, but they haven't learned endurance. And I think you can't learn endurance unless you have your eyes on the prize. In other words, you have to have a goal beyond the present moment, something to look forward to. I will tell you one of the most common ways to help someone who's feeling suicidal, they want to die that minute, say, can you live 5 more minutes? Yeah, I think I can live 5 more minutes. And then 5 minutes go by. Can you live 10 more minutes? You know? Can you live half an hour more? Can you live an hour? Can you live another day? Can you make it a week? And by this incremental method, you teach them endurance. The pain hasn't necessarily gone away. Maybe it hasn't abated at all. But they've learned endurance. And to tell you another story, there's a man who I met on Madathos many, many years ago. And he had told the story of how he was suicidal. And his dear friend told him, well, since you're going to die anyway, why don't you go visit Mount Athos before you die? And he thought that was a kind of good idea. He said, well, since I'm going to die anyway, what difference does it make if I wait 1 week? So I'll go to Mount Athos. So he went to Mount Athos, and there on this beautiful peninsula in beautiful northeastern Greece, the beautiful ocean there, this lovely piece of real estate, if you will, monastic monasteries, 20 different monasteries and many skites, and thousands of monks praying. He went there and he met St. Paisios by chance. And St. Paisios looked at him and said, I wouldn't say the man's name in case you should know him. I'll just use a pseudonym. He said to him, Yasu Dimitrimu. Hello, my Dimitri. And the man said, how do you know me? Because that was his name, and of course I'm using a pseudonym now. And he said, I can tell from your eyes. And he says, Yasu Dimitrimu from Yanina. He says, I can tell from your eyes that you're from Yanina. And then, you know, your name. And so the man couldn't look at the saint anymore. And the saint said to him, why can't you look at me? He says, are you embarrassed for the things you've done? I know all about them. And he told him. Now, this man lived in a foreign country. He didn't live in Greece. He lived in some foreign country. And the saint knew all his sins, as if he was by him when it happened. And the man, who had been so overcome by the destructive behavior that he had been practicing that led him to this despair, when he heard his sins told to him, instead of feeling worse, he felt better, because he knew that it had all been exposed, that God still loved him. Because here was the saint showing love for him, even though he knew all the things that were burdening this man's soul. And so he says, now that I taught you how to confess, go to such and such a priest and make your confession, and then come see me again. And that man never, ever wanted to take his life again, not even 1 second of that, because he met true love. And that love saw past any sin or disfigurement of his soul that had taken place in his life. And so we see that when suffering produces endurance, endurance is a very important thing. It's not a nothing. It's a very important thing. And then endurance, when we endure with God's help, becomes character. And then character produces another fruit, and that is hope. So let's see what St. Clement said, because I don't want to stop that beautiful passage there. Confront your hardships with nobility of understanding. we can say in Greek, philotimo, and evgenia, giving thanks to God even in the midst of your painful difficulties. His purposes are wiser than men's, and it is not possible or easy for men to divine them. Show compassion to those who are having a trying time, and pray that the help which comes from God may visit them, may visit men. God will grant a favor if one dear to him asks for it, and he will give help to the distressed, for he wishes to make his power known to men. So when they become aware of it, they may come back to God and enjoy happiness without end. And when the Son of God appears to bestow blessings on his own. What a lovely, lovely sermon that St. Clement of Alexandria wrote around the year 200. We don't know exactly what year, but around that year. Maybe 180, who knows? We don't know when he wrote it. But this beautiful expression of sticking it out, don't give up. Endure the suffering as best you can, because in that suffering there is soon produced hope. With all these songs, I want to keep playing them, but we're running out of time today. And I wanted to read just a little bit more. Now, this is St. Cyprian. St. Cyprian, who lived in the 3rd century in Africa and went through the persecutions that took place at that time. And here's what he says. Patience, dearest brothers, is a divine attribute. When in his gospel the Lord was offering precepts for salvation, and offering advice from heaven to school his disciples to perfection, he emphasized this so that we can realize it more fully and observe that whoever is gentle, patient, and mild is imitating God the Father. This is what he said. You have heard it said, love your neighbors and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be the children of your Father who is in heaven, who makes his sun to rise on the good and the evil, who reigns on the just and the unjust. If you love only those who love you, what reward will you have? Why, even the tax collectors do this. If you greet your brothers only, what more are you doing? Even the Gentiles do this. Be you therefore perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. And now the saint continues. He was reading, of course, from Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and following. And he continues now, St. Cyprian. He said, that meaning Christ, that we become the perfect sons of God. He showed that we are fulfilled. he taught that we are reborn in heavenly birth if the patience of God, the Father, remains in us. If the divine likeness which Adam had lost by sin becomes clear and bright in our actions. So we have the word patience in Greek, ipomoni, and then they have the word ipomeno, to endure. So ipomoni and ipomeno are really from the same roots. So endurance and patience are from the same root in the beautiful Greek language. So we have to learn these things. And the only school for learning patience, unfortunately, is suffering. There's no other school. If everything goes your way, you're never going to learn patience. There's a little parable or analogy that I heard when I was young about a oak tree. I lived in a place where many oak trees were growing in my home of Ohio. And those oak trees were beautiful and glorious. They were so tall, and I loved it in the fall when they threw off all their leaves, and the leaves could be 3 and 4 feet deep, the leaves, how many leaves that one tree can hold. And the trees all start out as a little acorn. And this saying is, for the tree to get that large and to be stable, it has to go through periods of drought. Otherwise, the roots don't go deep. If the roots stay shallow, then when the big wind comes, the tree topples over. So suffering is that drought period to help us grow deeper in God. Thank you for listening to our program today. As always, it's a presentation of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand, headquartered in Wellington, whose Archshepherd is His Eminence Archbishop Miron. We thank you for listening, and we wish you all of God's blessings this week and every week.